some ways, this practical session is even more exciting, more interesting than the teaching. I really mean this. The next session that we have, you will have breakout groups in which you'll get to share. And we'll get to support one another, pray for one another as well. Okay, but I want to say a little bit about this series and this transition that we're having. This is our last in this series on Hearing from God. And we'll be taking a break next week. Then we'll start the following week again. Yeah, we'll start again the following week. And in subsequent weeks, we will be doing aspects of the Christian life that answer the question, and this is the question, what does it take, what are the spiritual ingredients that will cause me to be a person of Daniel 11:32, the people who know their God will know God, they will not know God, they will display strength and do exploits. What are the spiritual ingredients that God is putting in me, and how do I respond to God in that? So I'm very excited about this because these are foundational and these things can make a lot of difference in whatever situation we're in. And these are ingredients that you can't run away from. We need that. Hearing from God is one of them. Yeah? Hearing from God is one of them. Now, what's happened is this. We are actually in a transition phase in which we are beginning to talk about faith. Hearing and faith are very related. And so last week we've been talking about faith as faith that comes from hearing. So it's one thing to hear from God, but faith is what causes that hearing that we have to be converted into power, to be converted into miracles. So it's no good just hearing and listening and hearing stuff and then it doesn't get converted to anything. Does that make sense? A lot of people who like they hear and hear and hear and hear, and the Bible talks about that. And nothing happens. And James talks about the fact that what we hear is actually converted into works. Not just human works, but works of God, which they are anointed by God, that are supernatural. So we'll be talking about faith, especially the next series that we'll be doing. So tonight I just want to transition us into that, so that we can begin to talk about that. Okay, before we do that, I want to open up to anyone who felt that the Lord was speaking something or there was something that was happening for you and you may want to share so that we can all learn from that. Does anybody want to share? You didn't get a chance to speak out, but there was something that was going on and you want to sort of... This is a chance to share. You were experiencing something, and you have a question about it. This is now a good time to debrief. Anybody? David. Good to see you.
Thanks. This is probably more. I don't know. It's kind of more for me, but I'll share it. Maybe other people. But similar to like a couple weeks ago when I was here, I felt like there was a fullness that was present, and I felt like the more that I speak in tongues. Yeah. The more that access to the fullness. Right. That's why I just kept speaking, because I feel like I tapped into it.
Yes, amen.
That's kind of what I got today.
So David's talking about something that's really, really important, and we want to actually grow into it, let's get into it right now. How can that fullness be accessed, not only accessed, but actually we can grow in it, to what such an extent that the more hungry we are, the more we receive? Yeah. How can we even increase our capacity to have more? And what you shared is a key. Like as you pray in the Spirit, you actually can get deeper and deeper, stronger and stronger in it. There's no limit, actually. There's no limit to the power of God. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Amen. Anyone else?
I agree with that. I was feeling as the praises were rising, it just, we were making cuts.
Yeah.
Cuts in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
In the practical realm of things. And the cuts were allowing, it felt like the cuts were allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through.
Yeah.
Just as the praises were rising.
Yeah.
So a little bit more throughout.
Right. It's like cuts. That's good. That's a good description. It's like there's like quantum sort of jumps, you know. You go from glory to glory. Yeah, amen. Anybody else?
I'll just say that when you ask God to speak, he does. He really does. He really does.
Amen.
It's just like
Christina.
In line with that, well, I totally agree with what Rene was saying about just something broke when we keep worshiping, but I don't know if because I've been babysitting this like 6-year-old boy, but he loves dinosaurs, and so I just got like this image of, you know, like, you know, the T-Rex is like the biggest one, and you hear its footstep, and like everyone
right.
shakes, and you're kind of afraid, but I just felt like God was making his like footstep, and like there's no fear, but like he's making his presence known.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I just felt that really strongly like
yeah.
throughout it, so. Yeah.
And it's getting heavier.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. There's something about what you shared about like the more you sing,
mm-hmm.
it gets stronger, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, some of us pray in tongues, some of us don't. If you don't pray in tongues, you just sing. You know what I mean? You just keep singing. If you it seems like you're repeating, but actually there's strength that's actually growing. Yeah? It's just like the story when Elisha was about to die, and he came and he called King Joash to come in, and he told him, King Joash, I know the Syrians are very threatening, they want to attack us, but you take the arrows, and you strike the ground, and he struck the ground 3 times, and Elisha was not happy with him because he only struck the ground 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
What he was saying, so you should have struck the ground many times, because when you strike it more, actually, there's an increase of power, increase of strength. He said, you should have struck the ground more.
Mm.
And he was not happy with him. He said, because of that, you're only going to defeat the Syrians 3 times. But there's this something about spiritual dynamics in which there's a build-up. Now, I don't hear people talking about build-up much, especially in evangelical circles. Yeah. But Pentecostals and Charismatics, they know the meaning of build-up. They know faith can be built up.
Mm.
They know that actually as you pray in the Spirit more and more, there's something that builds up. Yeah. So there is this dimension of like stronger, bigger, more enlarged. You know? So that's something we want to get into. Yeah. Dale?
Yeah, I was just sensing it goes along with what many people were saying, that God really wants to pour His Spirit out on us freely, but it's like in direct relation to how much we desire it.
Yeah.
And so He doesn't like force it on us, but
yeah.
it's like as much as we want it, He'll give it.
Amen. Amen.
But we sometimes, our desire for other things kind of
yeah.
takes precedence or
right.
kind of keeps us from desiring Him more.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just got the sense that like it's there if we want it.
Yes. Yeah. A lot has to do with how much we desire, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we can dilute our desire for Him because we want other things and all that. So yeah, so that's really great. Thank you. Aidan?
Yeah, it's interesting. The other side of that was striking me, which is that the Holy Spirit is inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still trying to get my head around this dynamic where just letting your voice out releases something. It's something we do, but it's also like it gives a spout for the Holy Spirit. And the way I'm thinking of it right now is like uncorking a bottle of wine. You know, I don't drink a lot of wine, but some people say like you have to let it breathe, right? And so it's like when I hear when people are like singing and just lifting their voices, even if it's inarticulate or it's not a song. There's like a way they just move into freedom there.
Right.
Right? It's like letting out the precious thing that's inside.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know how that works, but
it's almost that it's like it's not words. When you sing, I don't know how you all feel when you sing. You just sing.
You're pouring out.
Pouring out, yeah. Mm-hmm. How many of you sang but without words? Yeah. That's how you sing without words. When you're doing that, there's a freedom that comes. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. If we sing only the words that we know to sing in our minds, then it's our singing is stuck by our minds, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes when we sing without words, just sing to the Lord, or you repeat the same word and all that, it just frees you up. Mm-hmm. You know? So that is why singing the Spirit, or singing like we sang that one, can be quite powerful, very, very powerful, because it takes you out of being limited to logical words or, you know. So once you do that, you're freed up, then you can just follow from the Spirit. Good. Anyone else? All right. I want to say a few things about faith. If you look in James chapter 2, verse 18, okay, we'll read it from verse 14. Okay, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Okay? But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. What is happening is he's saying, it's only through works that faith actually is manifest, it's authenticated, or it's made real. Okay? So what he's saying is this: somebody comes to the church, they are in need, they are naked, all that. If you don't see that problem as your problem, then you have, whatever faith you have is not no use, right? Because faith has to be used. And faith can only come when you do the works of God in meeting people's needs. Now, it's possible for people to look at a person who's in need and think, that's not my problem. I mean, that's a lot of people are like that, right? It is only the person who looks at the person in need and says, I cannot let that happen. It's just, how can I have a brother or sister who's in need and that person's need is not taken care of? Does that make sense? Those who go on a mission field, they're facing that all the time, right? And after a while, you just cannot live with that existing in you. You have to do something about it. It's just terrible. You just can't. Right? And so what you need is a faith. And that faith can only show itself, it's only made real, if that faith produces what that person needs. Does that make sense? But James is not talking about something that you have that you can give to them, right? That's not faith. He's just being generous. But he's talking about faith here, which is the substance of things not seen. Right? So he's talking about working the works of God, and the works of God are occasioned by need. But if you separate yourself from need, then you have no need for faith. Faith is not for you, it's for someone else. Does that make sense? So the exposing ourselves to needs are very important. That's why the Bible says, do good to all people, especially those of the household of faith. Okay? So James is talking about faith as something that is made real only with works. Okay? So faith comes by hearing. Right? We heard from God that He wants to do something. And we can only hear those things that God says if our heart is not closed to our brother or our sister who is in oppression or who is in... Does that make sense? That doesn't mean that you have to meet every need. You have to meet the need that God is moving you to. But James is saying, okay, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, verse 14, if you say you have faith but do not have works, can that faith save you? And the answer is, of course, no. He's actually talking about faith as something that it doesn't exist if it doesn't have any works. If it doesn't manifest itself in like the works of God. Okay? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But if someone will say, you have faith and I have works. So if someone separates works and faith, right? They're saying, you're the works kind of person, I'm the faith kind of person. James is saying, that is not even real. Because it says, I can only show you my faith by what the faith does, by my works. Does that make sense? Now, he's not talking about natural works. He's talking about supernatural works. Because it's possible for us to do good things without faith. But Paul, James is talking about faith right now. He's talking about faith to produce the impossible. Produce what you don't have. Yeah? So what he's speaking about is faith that is not subjective. Not just something inside locked in our heart, but it is faith that only manifests itself when we see need or impossibility. And so that's how he defines faith. Now he's speaking about the fact that there are some people who don't have faith because they don't see their brother or sister's need as their business. Okay? They don't see what God wants to do in that person. They don't see that. And because of that, they can live a life in which they're completely blind. Their faith never gets used. And actually, James would say, that is not faith. Because faith only can be seen by the mighty works of God. Not just human works, it's works of God. So, okay. Right. So that's faith. It seems clear that faith is authenticated by action. It is made manifest, it's made real by action. So hearing in scripture, hearing, is not merely the detecting of words, but it's something relational, even active. It is the active reception of God's, the voice of God in faith, in a faithful way. Okay, faith then, we have been speaking about, comes by hearing. All our sessions have been about hearing from God. Faith means you hear in a certain kind of way. In such a way that that hearing produces a miracle, produces the works of God. Produce supernatural things. Does that make sense? So, there are people who say faith is, hearing from God is just hearing. Okay? But I will put it to you that this hearing is not complete unless that hearing results in an act of faith.
Can you still see?
I can, but can you see? Not my side, but okay. So faith is actualized by you gotta step out, right? Unless you step out, then all that hearing is just locked in, you know. It's just locked in, it just doesn't do anything. Now I know that there are some Christian movements. And honestly, I feel that before 2007, our church was a bit like that. It's like a lot of worship, a lot of listening to God, and all that, but not doing anything. And when people didn't do anything, I began to see them get weaker and weaker. Their hearing actually became toxic to them, because all that things that they heard was not actually doing anything. It wasn't issuing forth in reality. After a while, their faith got lower and weaker and weaker, right? Because after a while, they got used to God not doing anything. Does that make sense? It's almost as if when we were studying hearing the voice of God, we found that it is never going to be completed unless it is converted into faith. And faith is only actualized through an action. It's an action. So if we want to talk about hearing from God, you have to talk about faith. Because faith tests our hearing. Does that make sense? It's like, all I'm hearing from God, it just becomes nothing, it becomes selfish. It just becomes for our own subjective kind of self-edification. It isn't converted to faith. Does that make sense? In order for us to have faith, we have to hear from God. But you have to hear in that certain way. It's very loving. It's a loving kind of faith. And so, faith is actualized by action. It's by stepping out and not shrinking back. It involves the cross. Because when we hear something, in order for it to become a reality, we don't just wait for it to drop on our laps. Some things do. Some things God says, just be still and know that I am God. So the action is like, don't go and run all around like a chicken with his head cut off. Don't try to make it happen. That is an action. It's almost like a negative action. But it involves the cross. It involves saying, I'm going to die for this to happen. Does that make sense? I have to die to myself for this to happen. Almost as if I have to step out in faith and I may lose everything.
And people think you're crazy.
And everybody thinks you're crazy. And sometimes you don't know whether you're crazy or not. You have to test it out, right? We'll soon find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why Paul says we are fools for Jesus' sake. I mean, he's willing to go through that. So, the thing about hearing now is that there's this hearing that is very relational with God. I want to talk a little bit about how we hear, okay? How we hear. Because that is important for faith. It is possible for us to hear from scriptures, but we take it in a way that is not what God's heart intended. And it's possible for us to do that because we are just wanting to consume it, James says, in our own lusts, right? I know that sometimes even people who are closely related to one another, we don't hear each other well. And we don't hear each other well because we hear only from our own framework. Does that make sense? To hear from God, we have to take ourselves out of our own selfish framework and go out to Him and to be able to hear from His point of view. Does that make sense? Now, I'm married. I've been married for 23 years. I know what I tend to do. I listen. And when my wife says something that I resonate with, I immediately interrupt her. I say, yes, 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 yes. And then I say whatever I say, that really resonates. But she'll come back to me and say, no, that's not what I did. I mean, because my resonance resonates with me. It's not true to what you are saying. Does that make sense? So it's possible for me to hear and get excited, but actually, I'm hearing on my own framework. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Have you met people who you tell them something and they say, okay, I got it. They're not really listening to you. Yeah. They're not that interested to hear what you really, really mean. Yeah. They're not really wanting to understand you fully. They just don't have that much time for you. And they listened and you got what they said. But when they try to do it, they misunderstand and they show that they haven't really been listening. Does that make sense? So there's a way we sometimes we can listen to God and we are just not careful. But when you have to listen to someone, I was telling some people here, my daughter Elisa, she has organic chemistry. And organic chemistry is like frightens everybody, okay? Especially her. And so she just didn't know what is going on in that organic chem for most of the year. And she had an exam coming up, right? And she knew that she was like, she just does not know where she is, right? And so we got a tutor for her. And the tutor had two 1-hour sessions with her, okay? In these 2 1-hour sessions, she has to fix all her problems in organic chemistry. And we knew this tutor knows everything. That tutor knows everything she needs to pass organic chem. But he has only 2 hours with her. So she has to listen in such a way that whatever she listened to, it's no good saying he's a great tutor. I really enjoyed that. It's no point. She has to listen in such a way that when she sits for the test, she got it. When you have to listen in such a way that you have to execute, then you listen in a very different way, right? Does that make sense? So she was asking me, like, so how do I listen? And when she asked that question, I was really happy. Does that make sense? Because she knew that what she heard must be converted into right answers on that one exam. That caused her to be able to learn how to listen in a very different way and ask questions in a different way. When you listen because you have to do something that you cannot do without that key thing that's there, so you're listening for the key. You're listening for what did I not know before? What do I need to be able to cross that gap between not knowing and knowing how to do that chemistry problem or something, you know? So you listen in a different way. You listen and you are holding on to every word, you know? And you're aware, and you don't want to listen to anything that and let it pass if you don't really understand it. Does that make sense? So when we say faith comes by hearing, we are hearing because we have to work the works of God. We have people who are in our midst, or even in our own life, in which they are one step away from disaster. Right? And now as a pastor, I have met a lot of people who were just one step away from death or from disaster, or from like losing everything. And so I am praying for them, and I'm praying, and they are sort of hanging on every word that I say, and I could so easily give them knowledge. But I know if they apply that thing the next day, it would completely crash, nothing would happen. Does that make sense? So I have to listen to God in a way that provides them something that I don't have or they don't have, but really comes from God. So I have to really listen carefully. So they're in desperate situations. I'll give you another example. My pastor, when I'm back in Malaysia, he said, all of you church planters, I want you to have healing campaigns wherever you are. So in all our different towns, we have healing campaigns. So we had advertising, we told everybody, come to this place because Jesus heals. So true enough, people came. 1 month before the healing campaign, so we knew lots of people were coming. I mean, my members were going out and they were saying, Jesus is going to heal you, Jesus is going to heal you, Jesus is going to do this and all that. And so I'm like, oh no. I'm like feeling, the more they went out, the more discouraged I was, because I could feel like I...
Pressure.
Let's not overpromise them. And I'll just tell them, you know, you can be saved and go to heaven. I'm like, okay. No, that's good, that's good. Oh, we will pray for you. We will see what God does. I mean, that's actually quite wise. But all my members were getting so excited, you know, because, you know why? They had seen videos, or at the time there was not videos and movies, of healing campaigns in which people are walking out of their wheelchairs, and they says, God can do this! Of course he can do it in our church, right? I said. So I phoned my pastor and I says, what's, the people are coming, you know? And it's 1 month, I don't know what I can do that's going to make me different from what I was before. I've been praying, I don't feel any different. And we prayed for some people and nothing really happened. So what? My pastor said, you know what, listen to these tapes. It's Maurice Cirillo's new anointing is here. Listen to these tapes. The answer is all in these tapes. Okay. So he gave it to me. And I listened to them. Alas, I've listened to them like 50 times. There's something that I need that is in that tape. So I listened to the tape a very, very different way, because my listening better make a change 1 month from now when these people are going to come. Does that make sense? When you are exposed to a desperate need, you listen differently. Whether it's an exam, or it's a marriage problem, or it's a financial problem, or it's a crisis that's happening, or something that people are needing. I want to put it to you that if we actually expose ourselves to needs, and we really take seriously the fact that Jesus is the answer to all those things that our friends that are depressed, that are giving up, that are suicidal, that all that, that, come on, Jesus is the answer. I may not be the answer, but Jesus is the answer, and I gotta somehow take my friend's needs as my needs. Does that make sense? That's the thing. That's how I have to listen. And so I just listen to the tape. I listen, listen. And I'm listening this way. What am I missing? What am I missing? What am I missing? Does that make sense? Is that how you listen? And you read the Bible. What am I missing? What am I missing? Now my children, they are used to thinking that way, because they're always like they were in competitive swimming, right? So when the coach gives them tips and all that, they are looking for, what am I doing wrong? I need you to correct me, because if you don't correct me, I won't swim faster. And one day Caleb told me, I really cried because my coach, after I had swam prelims, I was going to go to the finals, he says, that was a great swim. And she said, that's all he told me. And she just wept in front of him. Like, she was so desperate. I need something. I need you to tell me something that I'm doing wrong. Because if I don't get that, I'm going to swim the same swim for finals that I swam in prelims, and it's not enough. Does that make sense? So when you listen a different way, right? So coming back to that story, so I just listened to this tape, right? The new anointing is here. It's like I knew it was powerful for a lot of people, and I knew that if it is not powerful for me, I am missing something. So I just kept on listening and listening and listening and listening. And I kept on praying. I said, God, tell me, show me, show me, show me. And indeed, after listening to it like with a full kind of open and sort of a running through it like with a fine-tooth comb, I got it. I got something from that. And I knew what I had to do. So 1 month later, we had a great healing campaign, and I started seeing things that I'd never seen myself do, because I heard something, and somehow I had the faith for that. Does it make sense? So faith is really important. Now, something about the church is such that we are actually okay with seeing people with needs and not being able to do anything about it. Not having a supernatural answer for them. Even though all of God's power is with us, there's something wrong. There's something about the way in which we are listening that's just somehow, I don't know what it is that is making us sort of cut off from the needs of people who are sick, poor, oppressed with us. And that's why James is really important, see. faith, it's, you can only know by the works. If you tell me, or if I tell you, I have faith, I can only say, well, I hope you're right. I can only tell whether you have faith when I see you pray for someone, or how or someone's need gets met supernaturally. Does that make sense? And this is what we're going to talk about next series. That hearing puts you on alert for the application of what we're hearing is was important. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now, faith is actualized by action, by stepping out. Sometimes the action is a negative action, that means don't run around with it like a chicken with a head cut off, but being still. Actually today, Nanette was singing a song that said, be still and know I'm God. And then there was also a word about being still as well. For some, that action is just being still. It's a actual, it's like a negative action, but it involves energy as well. But being still, like, not in the way of shrinking back, you know. Sometimes it's a bold step to actually be still. Because all spiritual actions involve the cross, there's always a sense of death to self in this. This is unnatural, this action. Yet ultimately, it's more spiritually natural in the long run because it involves the bending straight of our crumpled, bent natures into congruence with our true nature in God. What God is trying to do is that He's actually... See, we're all bent towards disempowerment, right? We're bent towards no confidence. We're bent towards that feeling that we don't have enough. We don't have... We are in deficit. God wants to actually straighten us instead of us being crumpled. He wants to actually cause us to function in the zone where all His resources are. Yeah? And so we have to step out to that zone. Not step out into our own resources, but step out beyond. And that faith is God giving us a word, us hearing that word, and then acting out that word, which cannot come to pass unless by a miracle. By doing that, God is actually healing us, He's straightening us. Okay? The works of God in Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 says, does God lavish His Spirit on you and work miracles among you because you practice the law or because you hear and believe? Yeah? So what Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 is saying is this. He works the miracles among you by hearing and believing. Not waiting for it to happen. Does that make sense? Does God lavish His Spirit on you and work miracles among you because you practice the law or because you hear and believe? And the answer is yes. Because the miracles come by hearing and believing. We want to get those two things together. For too long, they've been separated. And so, if faith involves an action, then I must say, who is sufficient for these things? It's too difficult. Frankly, I said all that I said, but actually, honestly, it's too difficult. Because if it all depends upon action, how many of us are bold enough for that? Then faith must be a really hard thing. Except for the Holy Spirit. This is where the Spirit is our paraclete, or He walks alongside, helper, and our comforter. He has not left us to our own devices to have to leap into the zone beyond ourselves. He comes to help us and fill us, and ultimately to compellingly lead us into the dimension of eternity, where all the miracles are, where the leading of God becomes natural. It becomes more natural than our fallen instincts. Here, when we enter into that zone, the reality of God's power will seem more real, more vivid, more compelling than our natural senses. How do we work with the Holy Spirit to bring us to the place that we can actually step out? Yeah? The first thing is we consecrate our heart's desires towards God. We say, God, I want to do your will. That's what we were hearing in worship. We're saying, I want your will to be done. Some of you are going to be missionaries on the field. Yeah, I can see you got missionary, you got M on your face. The call of God, not everyone, but some of them. And sometimes I try to frighten my kids. I say, I think you're going to be a missionary. He said, no, Daddy, please. More recently, someone says, I want to be a missionary. My youngest one says, can I be a missionary? I say, no, you got to ask God. Kids think I'm playing tricks with them. The first thing is, we consecrate our heart's desires to God. We say, God, we want to do your heart's desires. I don't want you to just come and make me successful. I want to be of yours, your desires.
Amen.
When that happens, then you start seeing needs and you take it personally. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Faith is not for those who don't take the needs of others personally. Yeah. Whether it's people who are homeless or people who are really in need or really in pain. When you take those needs seriously, you will firstly come to the point where you will say, I can't. It's such a burden. That's why the Holy Spirit wants to carry our burden. But if you don't see the burden, there's nothing for the Holy Spirit to carry. Does that make sense? You have to be desperate enough for the Holy Spirit to come in and say, okay, I'm going to help you. Whereas there's nothing to help, nothing. You don't need the anointing. You're doing fine without it. Secondly, we worship God. And as we worship God, especially when we sing repetitively, what happens is that the Spirit actually gets stronger in us. We pray in the Spirit. That's why I think singing a lot is like praying in the Spirit. When you sing and you sing and you sing until you begin to believe it, until it becomes real in you, then it begins to emerge in you, it begins to explode in you. What happens is that your heart feels differently. Does that make sense? The more we sing, the more we worship, our mind is conformed to Him. We become more in line with His Word of God. And we actually believe it more. We can receive it more. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. So worshipping and all that. Worshipping God. Not just looking out for His deliverance. Not looking out for His miracles. But worship. Just worshipping Him. Praising Him. Worshipping Him. And as you worship Him, then He'll begin to say, I can do this. I can do that. Then we sing it. We sing it. And at first when we sing it, it seems like not real to us. But the more we sing it, the more we give ourselves to it, the more we listen in a loving way, and we say yes to you, we say yes to you, the more and more we experience it. Yeah. You know, the Bible says, two cannot walk together unless they agree, right? There was a man in the Bible who walked with God. His name was Enoch. He must have agreed with God a lot because he kept on walking, and God says, I think let's keep on walking because you agree with me. He walked straight off the face of the earth.
Yeah. He walked and walked and walked.
He kept on walking, right? So when we worship, we agree with God. What we want to do is to make ourselves agree more. I mean, we do believe all these doctrinal things and all the things we sing. Yeah, they're all good. But we don't necessarily agree with our soul, right? Doesn't make sense. To agree to such an extent that we can step out on it and base our life on it. But the more we sing it, if you don't pray in tongues, you just sing. Just sing and sing and sing and sing. Or repeat to yourself. That's why many people who don't pray in tongues, they just take the Bible, right? They just read it. They just read, 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 read. A lot of the Jewish rabbis, like those who are more on the spiritual types, they just read. And you see them rocking back and forth, just read and read. You know what's actually happening? They're actually allowing their spirit to actually go ahead of them. Does that make sense? It's not just be stuck in there. You just read it. I don't understand. I say yes. I say yes. Yes. After a while, the word begins to act upon us. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I believe in worshipping like that. Until we can sense it resonate in our heart and we begin to find that the things that we are reading, they are talking back to us. At first we are just saying, okay, I agree. Then after a while, the thing actually talks back to us. When that happens, it feels different. It feels not like I'm trying to understand it, I'm trying to believe it, but actually it is hitting me. It is hitting me. When that happens, faith is coming. Yeah, faith is coming. Yeah, the third thing, of course, is praying in the Spirit. We've talked a lot about that. Now, the fourth thing is meditation. Okay, meditation. The meditation is like the cow chewing the cud. It's like, the word for meditate in the Old Testament is the word mutter. It's like you mutter to yourself. You just talk to yourself. You just repeat it again and again. Blah, 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 blah. You know? It sounds really silly. But the Bible is full of us doing these silly things. These things that seem really foolish. Because the Bible understands it's not just the ideas there, but it's the dynamic of it inside us, the practice of it. Does that make sense? And so the first way in which the Holy Spirit can help us to comfort us and to actually increase faith in us is first us consecrating our heart's desires to Him. Yeah? Second, by worship. Thirdly, by praying in the Spirit. And fourthly, by meditation. So we just keep it in our hearts. The cow I hear has two stomachs. They're chewing the grass the whole day. Transfer one stomach to the other. It's just like this. It's just like we're just masticating it again and again and again, more and more and more and more. After a while, it just becomes broken down. Does that make sense? Mm. The Hebrew word for train a child in the way that you go has to do with breaking down of food. The word that's used for training a child is a practice that the mothers did in those days. Even in some cultures, they do. They eat the food first, they chew it up, and then they take it out on a ball and put it in the child's mouth. So it is broken down, just like the word of God, and break it down until it's easy to absorb. Yeah. Okay, so this is just an introduction to what we're going to be doing the next time we meet. We are saying now, good, hearing from God is good, you can be intimate with God and all that, but if this does not get actualized in seeing things happen, then all that is just subjective. It just doesn't do anything. It can even become toxic. So what we want to do is to focus on faith the next time. Okay? Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these your children that you have put your hand upon. I believe that it was not their own idea to come here, but it was you who brought us together for a great purpose. We bless you, Lord, for your presence with us. We love your presence, Lord. We love you. We love what you are about and how you love us first. And as we look at the needs around us, even people who come to VCR, mm-hmm. we ask you that you cause our hearts to be open and broken mm-hmm. to those that come, Lord, that our brothers and our sisters who come. It is not okay for them to remain in the state that some of them are in. Mm-hmm. We ask you that you would not let us go, but let your voice, your compassion, your love for them break us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we want to have more of you. So we ask you that you break our hearts so that we can have more of you. So we bless your name, Lord. Use us as your ministers. Make us portals of your presence, Lord, that through us many people can enter into all the great riches of you. Thank you. We want to be able to tell people who are hopeless that there is a God yes. who can do great and mighty things in our lives. So we ask you that even now, Lord, you just do not let us go and continue to feed our hunger for you. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for these sessions. They only just begun.